Podcasting from Dallas, Texas, I am Shireen, and this is the Yumlish Podcast. Yumlish is working to empower you to take charge of your health through diet and exercise and reduce the risk of chronic conditions like type 2 diabetes and heart disease. We hope to share a unique perspective and a culturally relevant approach to managing these chronic conditions with you each week. Dr. Janice Rossler is a two-time award-winning Diabetes Educator of the Year, a licensed marriage and family therapist, board-certified sex therapist, and registered dietitian nutritionist. Her columns have appeared throughout the United States, China, and Dubai, and she's the author of 5 books on diabetes-related sexual complications. Welcome, Dr. Rossler.
Thank you for having me.
An absolute pleasure. So, Dr. Rossler, can you tell our listeners a little bit about your background and what made you focus on sex health and diabetes and what we'll be discussing here today?
Sure. So I started out as a registered dietitian, got into the diabetes world because that was what fascinated me the most, because in contrast to other areas where no matter how hard you try to change your lifestyle, you may not improve. With diabetes, if you make different lifestyle decisions, food decisions, behavioral decisions, you can have a better quality life. So I really like that. So I was working with a gentleman one day in a doctor's office, endocrinologist's office. I'd given him his diet counseling and, you know, the whole thing that I was hired for. And then I went out into the waiting room and I saw this woman who I gathered was his wife sitting in the corner. And she was weeping. And I immediately ran over to her and I sat down and I said, "Can I help you? What's going on?" And she said, My husband and this diabetes, it's ruining our marriage and I can't take it anymore. And I felt so helpless because all I had in my arms were nutrition guides and I didn't have anything that I could suggest that she read or any place for her to go or, you know, this predates websites, I guess. I've been at it a long time, but nothing to give her. So I immediately started to search, and eventually it led to me writing my first book that I wrote with a diabetes psychologist and an endocrinologist. And so that's how I got into the sex world for diabetes. Later, I was speaking at a CDC conference. I ran into the only other person I knew who was doing something similar, a woman who became my co-author for all of these years. We've written numerous books together, spoken together, and whatever. But what we have found is that this is still a topic that few healthcare professionals ask about. It's a topic that people with diabetes aren't that aware of and don't realize how diabetes can affect them and what they can do to improve things. And so we still need to get the word out there just, you know, as urgently as the day that I met that woman.
And I guess help us understand the extent of this. So you're absolutely right. Not a lot of people are talking about this. This is something that we came upon and we were sort of like, oh, this is interesting. Now, sexual health can affect both men and women with diabetes. The most common problem that we've heard of is a decrease in libido due to medication, anxiety, depression, etc. Can you help us understand that a little bit more for both men and women?
Sure. Well, first of all, let me tell you the numbers. Approximately half of all women and men with diabetes are experiencing some type of sexual complication. That means every other person a healthcare provider sees is having something, and the range of issues is quite great. So we do know men, for instance, men with diabetes are 3 times more likely to develop erectile dysfunction, and they're more likely to develop 10 to 15 years earlier than men who don't have diabetes. They could also experience lower self-esteem because of performance or if they've had weight gain, and, you know, how they feel about connecting intimately, performance anxiety, certainly with the erectile dysfunction, orgasm and ejaculation challenges. And also lowered libido, lowered sexual interest. As far as women with diabetes have a greater risk of developing sexual complications than those who don't have it. They may feel also less sexual desire. They may have pain during intercourse that could be because of the diabetes, slowed arousal time, a lack of or lessening of the level of vaginal lubrication, a loss or decrease in genital sensation, reduced self-esteem, certainly, like men, orgasm challenges. They also have an increased risk, especially if their blood sugar tends to run high, a risk of urinary tract infections, which can lead to delays in sexual activity because you have to treat it. And you'll have to stop having sex until you finish treating it, until everything goes back to a healthy level. So those are the kind of things that we see in both men and women.
And can you talk a little bit about blood sugar challenges during sex itself, the understanding you need to develop with your partner, what that could look like?
Well, first of all, let's take a look at sex. Sex is a physical activity. So if you view it as any form of exercise, you are likely, there's always a risk of going low, of blood sugar dropping, because you're utilizing your blood sugar stores to do something, just as if you were running a race, or if you were, you know, and certainly the level or intensity of sex varies, but it's physical activity. So during sexual activity, a person could suddenly lose interest, experience a low, where they start to, you know, whatever, if you've ever felt a low, it doesn't feel good, you get that kind of jittery or feeling, or just incredible discomfort, fatigue, a lot of different things that can happen. So that can happen during sex. Also, if you have a low interest to begin with, that can be hard to maintain, you know, hard to increase during sex. Certainly, men can have erection issues. There can be difficulties with premature ejaculation, which happens, but it's certainly what's more common is just erectile dysfunction, where either you can't get an erection, or you can't maintain it long enough, or the erection isn't strong enough for intercourse with a partner. There's something that's a little bit less common, where when you ejaculate, it actually goes back into the body. So the nickname, the term is called shooting blanks, but because nothing comes out, and that can be incredibly shocking and upsetting. That doesn't mean that you didn't have an orgasm. It meant that because of the way the nerves are and the way the system's functioning, it's not moving through its proper paces. During sex, a lot of things can happen. And it's so important to communicate that two things. I view a bedroom, because I am a sex therapist, I view the bedroom as a playground for adults. This is where we play. This is our sandbox. So we want it to be fun. We don't want it to be pressured. We don't want it to be, okay, now you've got to perform. Am I ready? So what you want ideally is to have good communication. Say, look, I have diabetes. I'm going to keep snacks by bed in case I start to feel lightheaded or start to feel low. Please know the symptoms that I may come up with. Increased sweating, even though sweating can go along with more rigorous sex. But just to know your partner, or at least to have some type of word that you might say if you need to take a break, and have a partner who respects that. And then you can have a snack. You know, you can have a lot of fun with it and have strawberries. And, you know, if you're low, have strawberries dipped in chocolate. You know, I mean, you can go to the erotic foods, but know that you may need this additional support. I do know of a story where a man was, I guess you're going to tell all your listeners that we're going to be, yes, we're going there. We're going to be saying some things. So this is not for young children.
Absolutely.
But I do know of someone where her male partner was performing oral sex on her, and in the middle she fell asleep. She just, you know, and that was terribly disheartening to him, but she had her blood sugar started dropping. She got drowsy, and next thing you know, he was like, hello, what am I doing? Are you even here? So to have a sense of humor, to know, you know, she described it as saying, well, we thought we were getting to the end zone in the football game, but, you know, fumbled the ball. So there's all different ways, but if you can bring humor to it and safety, have snacks nearby, and lubricant. If you possibly are experiencing vaginal discomfort or pain because you're not having enough lubrication, one thing we see is blood sugar. If a woman's blood sugar level's running high, a lot of times, if you remember the real traditional symptom of increased urination when your blood sugar runs high, because your body's trying to get rid of all of that additional sugar, well, that's taking moisture out of your body. So that can promote dryness, vaginal dryness. So having a really good quality lubricant, one that's safe for the vaginal area. Some people actually use olive oil, coconut oil, natural oils, which are also fine. But the ones that you buy are thicker, so there's a little bit more protection against chafing and rubbing. But use lubricants and realize in the middle you may have to add the lubricant. So just communicating, stop, I need more lube, or make it part of the foreplay that you add it. But really try to come with a sense of humor, with a sense of fun, with the sense that anything can happen, and see how things go.
Absolutely. And there's a... I can't miss this from what you're saying, but there's an emotional piece to this, right? There's, of course, the physical and what the interaction looks like, but then there's the emotional piece of this. What techniques do you have to do for partners to do emotionally? You mentioned communicating, but what else can they do to be able to help understand that it is not them? This is not about them. This is about this third thing that is with them in the bedroom, like you said. Can you tell us more about that?
Oh, sure. Well, I as you mentioned, I'm a marriage and family therapist also. So one thing I like to do is go to my narrative therapy roots, which are in narrative therapy, what we do is we name things and we do something called externalizing, which means you take it and you remove it from inside yourself and put it out there. And, problems. The problem is the problem. You're not the problem. So what happens in the bedroom? As you mentioned, sex goes with you. You can't lock it outside of the bedroom and say, stay out there and I'll be inside. It comes with you. So it's this third being in the bedroom. And what I suggest that people do is name their diabetes, because it's an actual creature that's in bed with you, person that's in bed with you. And actually, there's one couple, they did this. I thought it was really fun. I don't know if any of you are listening to social media right now, but there's this whole thing going on with Jason Sudeikis's former engaged partner of Olivia Wilde, who's now with Harry Styles. And so we've got kind of a threesome thing going on. So if Jason, whatever. If you wanted to say, the person that's inside who's making trouble is, if you call diabetes Harry Styles and say, oh, Harry, what did you come in here for? You're messing up our relationship. You could do that. You can give it any name that you wanted to. You can give it a color. You can give it a shape. You can call it, Red Fred, whatever. But if your partner with diabetes, male partner, has an erection problem, it can help prevent you from blaming him and going, oh, it's me and what happened. You go, oh, Harry, go back to your performing. You don't belong here. And blame it on diabetes, because that's the culprit. And so I like finding, something celebrity or whatever, or someone you hate, someone you don't, or someone you dislike. You don't have to hate it. because diabetes really lives with you, so it's better to make peace with it. But, you know, just something fun, you know, and just say, we didn't invite you, you know, and so you can laugh together at the fact that this has happened rather than blame each other. That's the point.
I love that externalization of it to say that this is not something personal. This is not to be blamed on the partner, but this is in fact something that is in the physical space with them, but we're just trying to externalize it, trying to, you know, and like you said, make it fun along the way because diabetes is hard to begin with. So.
Oh, definitely. Absolutely. Absolutely. Bring a little fun. See what you can do.
So let's talk about men and then I want to switch to women. For men, the main issue around erectile dysfunction, which is caused by this lack of blood flow to the penis, you were talking about that earlier. Can you tell us a little bit more about how to navigate that, what to expect, and then how to navigate that?
Well, so let's take a look. It isn't only blood flow. Blood flow is a huge piece of it because in order to have a healthy erection, a person needs to have healthy blood flow to the area, which means that their blood pressure has to be good, their diabetes has to, blood sugar has to be in a good range, so it's not interfering with the blood flow, because when your blood sugar's higher, there's a lot of sugar in the bloodstream, and so the blood is actually moving at a different pace. We want to get it down to that region, but also neuropathy. When the blood sugar level has been high for an extended period of time, it can create nerve damage. And we need the body, the brain, to be able to communicate with the penis and the nerves around that area in order to maintain an erection and in order to ejaculate properly. So if you think of when you blow up a balloon, you pinch the end in order to hold the air inside. If you loosen your grip on the end of the balloon, the air starts to come out. So we have sphincters in all different areas of our body that need to close tightly so things don't leave once they're in. And so what we need is the muscles to relax when it's time to relax, and that would help the blood flow. And then when the erection has already developed, we need the nerves to know, okay, it's time to close up and keep that blood in there in order to have the erection, and then to loosen when it's time for the erection to go away. So it's blood flow and neuropathy, and this really goes to having a healthy A1C. We know that the higher a man's A1C, the more likely he is to develop erection problems. The more he improves his A1C, the more likely he is to improve his erection issues. There's certainly damage that after a long period of time may become permanent or troublesome, but that's usually after a long period of time where you have a lot of damage. And there are also other reasons a person might not be able to have an erection, but A1C is key for men. Men must please get your A1C in a healthy range. Discuss it with your physician about what range is best for you, and do everything you can, which would be making healthy food choices, being physically active, taking your medication as directed, monitoring your blood sugar levels so you can take care of everything, and same as, you know, getting rest, all those good things to help keep your body in good shape. And that can be a real key for men. If they do try to use any type of, if they lose their erection, it's really important that men with diabetes realize that only about 60% of men with diabetes can successfully use the pills that help with erections, the kinds that you see on, you know, on the commercials, the magic pills, because they just only work in, you know, about 60% of men with diabetes. And if you're one of the few who is in the other category, that doesn't mean you don't have options. You do. So other things they could try certainly are, you could do penile pumps that you can, you know, vacuum pumps that you can get on online without a prescription. They take some practice, watch the videos, don't just jump right in. And there's tricks for that as well. And usually they come with constriction rings, which after you obtain an erection, then the constriction ring will hold. You have that around the base of the penis and it holds the blood in. One thing I do want to say, because there's a surprise people don't usually know about, is if you think when you were little, I don't know if you did it, I certainly did, but if you ever put a rubber band around your finger as a little kid in class, and then you saw that your finger would kind of get cold and start to turn a little bluish. So that's what happens to the penis, because you're cutting off the natural blood flow. So it may become cold to the touch. It may start to look a little grayish or bluish. Don't be surprised. That's just what those constriction rings do. And when you remove them, you certainly can't leave them on forever. You know, follow the directions. And then once the blood starts flowing again, your color will come back. So that's a possibility for men. Also for men, we find that the Mediterranean diet for type 2, men with type 2, and it also is helpful for women because it's anti-inflammatory. So it can help reduce the development of sexual complications. We've got some really nice research on that. And also it helps with the level of the chemical that's required to relax the muscles so blood can flow in. So that's a great diet. And if you're on any type of diabetes meal plan, you can always add the Mediterranean choices to it. And it, you can just look it up or discuss it with your healthcare provider, dietitian, whatever. That's a possibility. There's other things for men. Now there's some more newer treatments. There's low-intensity shockwave therapy that you can talk about with a urologist. That's becoming a little more popular. Also, with men with type 2, it's common for men with type 2 to have low testosterone levels. And a lot of men don't realize that. The treatment is so easy. It's just a matter of taking testosterone supplements, either through an injection or you can take a pill, you can take it under your tongue, you can do a whole variety of different forms of taking it. But the good thing about that is a lot of times that will help the erection come back. Because if it's due to a hormone issue, that, you know, low testosterone can really cause ED problems. So that's the men stuff. the actual implant, the pump is really excellent. It is surgery. There are insurances that cover it. You want to get a urology surgeon who has experience in doing the procedure. But the good thing is that no one will know you have it. You can't see it. It doesn't ring bells when you go through airport security. It doesn't do anything. But it's so simple, and it gives a healthy, optimal-looking erection. It's just a matter of pressing something near the scrotum for fluid to flow in and then pressing it to release it so you can maintain your erection as long as you wish. The thing about it is that you can have a natural orgasm, so it feels just like if you didn't have the implant. And it's a terrific option. Many men really, really enjoy having that.
And so there are discrete ways to go about doing this and sort of navigating your life and being able to overcome a lot of these challenges that are faced through diabetes for men. Now let's switch to women. So women are prone to have an increase of vaginal infections, inflammation. Sex skin, you talked about this earlier, but it can also be painful due to low vaginal lubrication. You talked about that as well. And this also is caused by the blood sugar levels. How do women go about navigating this?
Okay, well, I wish women were easier. We're not. A little more complicated. course, I guess we're more complicated in most things. So with women, we don't see, research does not show that that there's a strong connection between A1C and a woman's development of sexual complications with, you know, diabetes-related sexual complications. So that means that you can have a textbook perfect A1C, you can be below six, you can be amazing, and you can still develop sexual complications. What we do find with women is their sexual complications with when they have diabetes tends to be more related to emotional-based issues. And I'm not saying that we're emotional. Well, we are emotional creatures, but we really respond to relationships. We need to feel safe with the partner so we can relax fully. Certainly, weight gain, weight loss, these things can throw us off. You want physical activity, stress reduction. Being stressed can also wreak havoc with sexual response. Certainly get plenty of rest, avoid fad diets. And watch medications. Actually, this is for men also. If you're taking any type of antidepressants or any medication, a lot of them have sexual side effects. So review your medicines with your physician and say, is there an alternate medication I can take that doesn't have such severe libido impact or just sexual side effects overall? Because now we have so many choices for so many different medications, and depression medications tend to have a lot of sexual side effects. There are some that don't, but you've got to sometimes ask for those. Lubricants, like I said, can be very helpful. Another thing are positions. There are a lot of different sexual positions. If you find that you're having pain, if you like the missionary type position, but you're having pain, even with using lubrication, some people find it helpful to put a pillow under their hips so that the position is different, so the rubbing point is different. And of course, using lubricant and applying it generously. There are vaginal suppositories that can be helpful, hormone treatments that can be helpful. And certainly there's a lot more support for women taking hormones than there used to be, because the risks for the benefits significantly outweigh any of the risks and the, you know, concerns about negative side effects and illness. Also, individual or couple therapy. We bring our perspectives, we bring our history into the bedroom. If you are angry at your partner, if you feel less respected, that can enter any person's, especially women, because we're much more relationship focused than most men. Some certainly are. Taking care of those issues can make a difference in how we connect. So that's also a big piece of it. The other thing too is there's something called diabetes distress, which is really common. Diabetes distress is a very specific type of category of depression. It's the discomfort a person feels and hopelessness and a whole variety of strong emotions that they feel because they have to take care of a chronic illness day after day after day. And diabetes distress is this when it's specifically with diabetes. So if you feel overwhelmed by diabetes, if you feel just, you know, all these daily decisions and things, certainly that kind of stress can enter the bedroom. And you'll feel less willing to have fun and frolic and be free. Speak with your healthcare team. There are so many different ways to approach diabetes, to care for diabetes, new tools, new ways to do things. If you haven't had a kind of a tune-up in how you approach your diabetes in a long time, there's so much more. For example, if you really can't stand checking your blood sugar by pricking your finger. Well, we now have ways to get glucose readings without pricking your finger a million times a day. So there's tools that have been developed. There's so much more that we know about food, and if and carbohydrates. Some people were obsessively counting carbohydrates. Now there's different ways to consider it, so you don't have to pull out your phone and count every second. So just to lower the intensity of the care piece, and that can certainly help take that out. One thing, last thing I want to say, about the women's piece is for years, starting with Masters and Johnson way back when, we always felt that the way that people proceeded sexually was what we saw observed in men, where they would get very excited, their intensity would climb, they'd get turned on, kind of plateau, and then they would have an orgasm, and then it would be, relaxation and all that. And we were under the belief that everyone worked that way. And in 2000, year 2000, Dr. Rosemary Bisson published some research that totally flipped this story when it comes to women. What we now know about women is that for women, the entry into sexual excitement and fun and response is not linear like this climb up the mountain and then down. It's a circle. And we can enter the circle through so many pathways. For example, we can enjoy sex even if we don't orgasm. Orgasm doesn't have to be the end goal. Orgasm could be fun, but you could certainly say, I had a great time, but I didn't, I don't know what you call it, whoopee or whatever you want to say, but I still had a great time and it was still meaningful for me. You can enter turned on. You can enter just with the intent that you want to do something kind for your partner and provide that person with sexual stimulation and then get turned on when that happens. You can do it because you just want to cuddle and you want the friendship and you love that closeness and the tenderness and get turned on that way or not get turned on. And the thing is, for women, it's successful on so many levels. And we don't have to have orgasm as our only way to win a blue ribbon and win a prize. Whereas with men, they tend to be very focused. And if they don't have a successful ejaculation, many view it as an unsuccessful sexual attempt. And knowing that we are different, we're wired differently, and we function differently, and we can take the pressure off of ourselves and say, oh my gosh, I have to orgasm or else. No, you don't. You can have a really good time, say, I loved it, I love the hugging, I love the cuddling, it felt great, I was glad to provide you with your ejaculation and, yummy, yummy. Let's do this again sometime. So taking the pressure down is also helpful.
And what's really at the core of this that I'm hearing you say, Dr. Rosler, is that communication, being honest with yourself, preparing, talking to your partner, talking to your physician very openly on how the medication is doing and all of that. So there's a lot of communication and just being open and honest about that with all these different people in this journey.
Definitely. And if we can go to kind of the, one other topic is tips for the talk. How do you talk to a physician or a healthcare provider who didn't ask you about this? Our visits are so brief now, and they have a list of things that they need to take care of. Are you checking your feet? Are you, what's your diet? And are you taking care of X, Y, and Z and your medication? And then time's up. And so they may not ask. And we know that from surveys that people with diabetes want their care provider to ask, what's going on in the bedroom? Are you having any trouble? And also, healthcare providers are human beings. I lecture to them often, and a lot of them are as uncomfortable talking about sex as the rest of us. And we hope they won't be, but they are human. And so they kind of leave it to the end, and then they kind of go, whew, good, didn't have to ask. So the thing is, if it's bothering you, if you have questions, let your healthcare provider know at the beginning of the session that you want to make time for this. Because it's got a nickname of being a doorknob topic, which means as the doctor, whatever, is closing the door to leave, you go, oh, by the way, and this isn't a 2-second answer. This is a discussion. So you can be very open and say, I'd like to talk about my sex life. Okay. If you have trouble with that, you can say, I really want to talk to you about something very personal, and hope they get the hint, and many will. You can tell the nurse who comes in first, could you please tell the doctor that I really have some questions about bedroom stuff? You know, there's ways to get that information to kind of get that conversation going. But it's best if the doctor or healthcare provider knows that the conversation's going to happen, so they can, you know, schedule that in.
Got it. And so just really being that advocate in your care and sort of putting that or setting that expectation with your physician so that you can have that conversation more deeply.
Definitely. Yep.
And so with that, Dr. Roszler, I feel like we could talk on and on. We are unfortunately toward the end of the episode. How can our listeners connect with you and just learn more about your work and learn more about this?
Oh, thank you. Well, I do have, I mean, my things have come and gone off the market and on the market. But the best way to reach me is through my website, which is dearjanis.com, and that's DearJanis.com. And that way they'll find out, because I'll certainly be putting it up. I do have a new series of books, downloadable books, that will be coming out. Very inexpensive. So I think the first version is going to be for women and sexual complications, diabetes, you know, and then the next will be men, and then we're going to have couples, and, you know, that'll all be on my website. That'll be announced. It's coming through the divabetic.com program. So the best way to reach me, you can email me through the site if you have any questions, but that's really the best way to reach me personally.
With that, Dr. Roszler, thank you so very much for your time. This is a much needed conversation to be had to understand the impact that is having. It's something we don't talk about often enough, but clearly, as you said, is impacting every other person with diabetes. So it's certainly something that needs to be talked about more often. So truly appreciate your time. And to our listeners out there, head over to our social media on Facebook, on Instagram, and answer this quick question. Has your sex life suffered because of diabetes, and tell us how, if you're comfortable with that. So head over to Facebook, Instagram again, find this podcast post and comment below on that post to tell us, has your sex life suffered because of diabetes? So we'll see you there. We'll continue the conversation after this episode. Dr. Roszler, an absolute pleasure.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me, and thank you. Pleasure meeting your audience.
Thank you for listening to the Yumlish podcast. Make sure to follow us on social media at Yumlish_ on Instagram and Twitter, and at Yumlish on Facebook and LinkedIn for tips about managing your diabetes and other chronic conditions, and to chat and connect with us about your journey and perspective. You can also visit our website, yumlish.com, for more recipes, advice, and to get involved with all of the exciting opportunities Yumlish has to offer. If you like this week's show, make sure to subscribe so you can hear more from us every time we post. Thank you again, and we'll see you next time. Remember, your health always comes first. Stay well.